Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. We begin this morning with a big surprise from the UN Climate Conference in Dubai. After decades of attempts, representatives from the countries attending have reached an historic agreement. Details from BBC reporter Carl Nasman in Dubai.
It was striking to hear the president say as well, the agreement is only as good as the implementation. The challenge now will be for these countries to start to implement what they've agreed to do. There are agreements in here to triple renewable energy capacity, to double their energy efficiency. And of course, the big line there is to start to transition away from fossil fuels.
President Biden will meet today with the families of Americans being held hostage by Hamas.
This will be the president's first in-person meeting with the families since Hamas's October 7th attack against Israel. Mr. Biden has spoken to some of the families on the phone. President Biden told supporters in Washington Tuesday, the U.S. will not stop until every hostage, including Americans, is back home again. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, the White House.
The Federal Reserve is expected to leave interest rates where they are later today, says CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Interest rates are likely to remain at 5.25% to 5.5%. That's good news for savers who are really excited about being able to get 5% interest on high-yield savings accounts, some money market accounts, and even certificates of deposit.
Four women have testified during a Senate hearing on sexual assault and harassment at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy. CBS's Scott McFarland says they told senators the Coast Guard covered it up.
Caitlin Morrow says she was sexually harassed and assaulted repeatedly, including by a classmate.
He would assault me during swim class. He would swim up underwater, grab any part of my body that he pleased.
In an internal Coast Guard survey last year, more than half of women reported suffering sexual harassment.
Researchers say the runways at San Francisco Airport are sinking at a rate of about 0.4 inches every year. CBS News Bay Area reporter Max Darrow.
According to researchers Oluwase Idasho and Manucher Shirzai of Virginia Tech, those runways are sinking.
This is just a warning for the future, and that future is not that far.
They'll present their findings this week at the AGU 23 conference put on by the American Geophysical Union.
One of the highest-profile video game conventions is being shut down permanently, according to its organizers. The Electronic Entertainment Expo, known as E3, had been held annually in Los Angeles since 1995. It was a popular place for game companies to tease their latest creations, but many companies began skipping the event or staging their own events nearby. This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Universities of Wisconsin's Board of Regents is going for a do-over on a vote to unfreeze money for pay raises and building new buildings. They had rejected a deal between System President Jay Rothman and Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on Saturday. The Board of Regents will meet again Wednesday to vote on the same deal. In exchange for the money, the system would repurpose over 40 positions related to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Republican leaders on Tuesday said that the four unconfirmed regents could see their jobs on the line regardless of how they voted on Saturday. Governor Evers is encouraged by the possibility of more Amtrak service in Wisconsin. The state is getting $2 million from Washington to study increasing passenger train opportunities from the Twin Cities to Chicago up to the Fox Valley. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers lose in prime time. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers were the first to score late in the first quarter, but then let it slip away, losing 24-22 to the Giants. Quarterback Jordan Love lost a fumble and later threw an interception.
Yeah, it was a bad read. Kind of got hung up too long, just held my eyes kind of to the left a little too long. Safety was able to play over the top, and just not a good read, not a good ball.
New York quarterback Tommy DeVito led the Giants on a fourth quarter comeback. Head coach Brian Daboll.
Yeah, it's his job. Third game of over 100 quarterback rating. Made good decisions, took care of the ball, used him in a run game. Kids done a good job.
NBA, the Bucks game went into overtime, but they beat the Bulls 133-129. Giannis Antetokounmpo with 32 points, 11 rebounds, and 6 assists.
He was moving the ball, sharing the ball, making the right play.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, partly cloudy skies and light winds. By daybreak, temperatures close to the 20-degree mark. On your Wednesday, any morning clouds will give way to sunshine. Highs will top out in the upper 30s, close to the 40-degree mark with light south winds. Right now, it's 22.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon. It's not The Price is Right. It's the Todd Albaugh Show. Along with our host and producer, Johnny Olson Zommers. No, that's actually Aaron Zommers over there on the board. It is Tuesday, December 12th, 2023. It is noon 06. And would the next president of the UW system come on down? You are the next president at the University of Wisconsin system. Welcome to the show, everybody. Big open. Thank you, Mr. Zommers. Big open here on the show on this Tuesday. Lots to talk about. A couple of reasons we use that opening music for The Price is Right. First and foremost, I'm on the Twix, not Twitter, not X, but Twix, and I'm scrolling through. I follow this person or organization called Midwest Versus Everybody, and it's things about the Midwest. I'm not so sure. I would put South Dakota more in the West than the Midwest, but that's just me.
I would too, but
regardless, if you've never been to Mitchell, South Dakota, you should go. Great little community on the plains of eastern South Dakota. And in Mitchell, South Dakota, it is the home of the Corn Palace. You understand? And what makes this building so cool is they take predominantly corn husks, corn hair, corn kernels, cobs of corn. And they use this natural substance to make these beautiful murals on the outside of the building. It's spectacular. If you've never been there, you should go. And so they've released, now they have one of the new murals on the Corn Palace in Mitchell, South Dakota. None other than the longtime iconic host of CBS's The Price is Right, the incomparable Bob Barker. And he's seen there with his long microphone looking at the big wheel, and it stopped on a dollar. It's a really spectacular, cool mural on the side of the Corn Palace at Mitchell of Bob Barker during the Showcase Showdown, or spinning the big wheel to get to the Showcase Showdown. And it reminded me, and they say, today would have been, of course, Bob passed away a few months ago. It would have been the 100th birthday of Bob Barker today. How about that?
As everyone says, he got as close as he could to 100 without going over.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, Bob, rest in peace. We're thinking of you today on what would have been your 100th birthday of Bob Barker, the late, great Bob Barker. And, of course, as he likes to remind us, help control the pet population. Have your pet spay or neutered. There you go. But we play the music because also today, breaking in the news, and we talked about this extensively yesterday, this debacle that is the UW system, and the president, Jay Rothman, has messed this up from nearly day one. And we talked extensively about the deal. I don't want to go in too deep in today what this whole deal that we talked about yesterday. And it was over diversity, equity, and inclusion. And Jay Rothman, rather than letting this go through the courts, decided to go directly to the board of, or first of all, go to Jay Rothman. You would have thought he would have gone to the Board of Regents and said, okay, folks, what am I allowed to negotiate? Because the president has to have this approved by the Board of Regents. I think most people assume that's what Jay Rothman did. He went to Robin Voss, Republican Assembly Speaker, who was holding these pay raises and other things up over his opposition to diversity, equity, and inclusion, and got a deal. And they announced it on Friday. And we carried much of that on Friday. And over the weekend on Saturday, the next day, they had an emergency meeting of the Board of Regents. And the regents voted it down 9-8. And on the video footage you can see on Channel 3000, Channel 3 here in Madison, the CBS affiliate, when the vote was cast, Jay Rothman kind of slammed his fist or hand down on the table. And the president of the Board of Regents, Karen Walsh, put her hands in her face because she voted no. So did she flip her vote? Nobody really knows for sure. And so I can refer to her as, you know, hands in her face, Karen Walsh. Woman just didn't know what to do. It was a debate. I mean, aside from the policy, put the policy aside for a second, politically and procedurally, it was a debacle, this whole thing. And so now the Board of Regents are, as we speak, last we checked, still in a closed-door emergency meeting. Now, what is going to come out of this meeting? If you look at their actual, I have a copy of it right here. If you look at a copy of their agenda to go into this closed-door meeting, because, of course, they have to legally tell people, the public, what they're going into a special closed-door meeting about, there are two things on the agenda. A, and this is both in closed session behind doors. A, confer with legal counsel regarding pending and potential litigation as permitted, and it gives the Wisconsin state statute. The pending litigation, the case, and by the way, I learned something. I didn't know this was the name of the case, where Governor Tony Evers is suing the legislature. In particular, it's called Joker, the Joint Committee on Employment Relations, co-chaired by Robin Voss. But guess, Mr. Zomers, who else sits on that committee?
Howard Markwine.
Ding, ding, ding. Where's the music? I mean, yes, you win a new car. Nicely done, Mr. Zomers. There you go.
Wrong show.
But that's fine. Yes, our old friend, tongue-in-cheek, co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, Republican Howard Markwine, also is on Joker.
I was really hoping I was wrong.
No, you are 100% right. Nicely done. And so the name of this case, the legal case, is called Tony Evers versus Howard Markwine, which I get absolutely great joy out of that. Just the name of the case. The fact that Governor Evers is going up against Howard Markwine. Now, I got to say, if this were like a physical fight in a ring, I might give it to Howard Markwine. I'm not sure. Although I think Tony Evers would be scrappy in the ring, but in the legal cage, I think Tony Evers has got the upper hand here. And so the Board of Regents are going into a closed session to discuss this case, Tony Evers versus Howard Markwine, which will determine if the Wisconsin Supreme Court takes it up in a timely fashion and rules whether or not this subcommittee of the legislature can hold up these 4% pay raises for $35,000 or 35,000 people or so across Wisconsin. Because remember, the legislature and the governor already passed and signed into law, respectively, these pay raises. But the legislature is trying to play legal tricks here. Republicans are to hold. So it's going to court. So the Board of Regents today with Jay Rothman are going into closed session to talk about that. Number two, deliberate and negotiate funding proposals and matters that require a closed session for competitive or bargaining reasons as permitted by statute. Well, that's kind of a Katie catch-all. you can kind of put that on there and allows you to talk about almost anything you want behind closed doors. So, and again, Mr. Zahmer's pointed this out before the show started, because you said they're doing today what they should have done before last week.
Yeah, I know. You've told me before, you've worked for a few different politicians, and the one thing that you should never be as a politician when you're walking onto the floor to vote on something is surprised.
Yes.
If they don't know what's going on, you as a staffer have screwed up, like, really bad.
Yes.
And so Jay Rothman throwing this deal on the table that no one knew about less than 24 hours before the Board of Regents had to vote on it, that alone, I think, shows a lot of incompetence for this position. Yes. Maybe he's a great lawyer. Maybe he did great work at Foley and Lardner.
I'm sure he is.
But in academia, not so much.
Not so much. So Mr. Zahmer is right. So what they're doing is the Board of Regents are going into closed session right now as we speak. At last check, they're still in there. And they're weighing this out. And attorneys, by the way, hate this. Because the Board of Regents and Rothman are asking the attorneys right now, okay, tell us what you think might happen. What's your best guess? Is this going to be settled in a few weeks, a couple of months, or a year? What's our chances on appeal? Will the appeal, will a judge stay these pay raises until the appeal is done? And attorneys hate this because they're going to, well, I don't know. Anything could happen. So then the Board of Regents are going to say, okay, percentage-wise, give us a percentage. And the attorneys will reluctantly say, okay, I think this has a 65% chance or an 80% chance or whatever of making it through. And then the Board of Regents have to decide. Are we going to play this out, Evers v. Markline, in the courts, and hope to goodness that this is settled in a month or so, and that these employees, these 35,000 or so employees, get their pay raises? Or if the attorneys say, this could go on for months, then the Board of Regents have to reconsider and say, okay, because they're hearing a lot of blowback from system employees. Not so much the high-ranking, you know, executives making six figures plus. It's the people making $45,000 and $50,000 a year who are the maintenance people, who are the lawn care people, who are the food service worker people, who are the teaching assistant folks. And so the Board of Regents is going to have to decide in closed session, are we going to wait this out in court, or do we go back to the bargaining table, at least attempt to, with Robin Voss, who said yesterday that he's done bargaining, that the deal is still on the table for him. At least that's what he's saying publicly. He's saying the deal we negotiated is still there if you want to take it. So then what happens? Well, then one of two things. Either A, because it was a 9-8 vote to vote against it, either A, the board, somebody that voted no has to flip their vote and vote yes, or, and here's where it gets interesting, the state school superintendent, Jill Underley, who sits on the Board of Regents, was not there Saturday. Of course, she has a re-election coming up. Do they bring Jill Underley back in to cast the yes vote to flip the whole thing, and then she has to run for re-election? And then, does Jay Rothman resign today? There is new reporting by Kelly Meyer-Hoffer from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We'll tell you on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allbowl Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap. The Todd Allbowl Show.
Even Republican women, when they walk into that booth, that reversal of RVW is going to walk in with them, because that cuts to the very essence of what a woman is and what she can be and what she can decide. To speak in Wisconsin terminology, the reversal of Roe v. Wade is the Wright Bauer for Democrats. That's a Euchre reference.
That is spot on. You nailed it, John Roach, once again.
The Todd Allbowl Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Dane County Executive Joe Parisi. Joe, let me ask you. You've made a little news.
you have declared what in regard to the Twitter, now known as the X, and the Dane County municipal accounts. Joe, have you banned Twitter?
Well, we're no longer going to be using Twitter, I think is probably the...
Is that the same as banning Twitter, sir?
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Title Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Zomber's on the board. It's now 20 past the hour of 12 noon. Again, the Wisconsin Board of Regents, Wisconsin University System Board of Regents, in a emergency closed door meeting right now, talking about this deal that failed over the weekend with Republican Robin Voss on funding for the UW system and would, at least in Jay Rothman's words, reimagine some of the positions of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And then new reporting yesterday by Kelly Meyerhofer of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She says in a headline, in the days leading up to the vote on the diversity deal, UW System President Jay Rothman floated his resignation. UW System President Jay Rothman knew the vote on a deal over campus diversity efforts was critical. In fact, in the days leading up to it, he floated resigning if the vote failed, according to UW Student Regent Evan Brenkus. Quote, during our sessions over the past few days, the System President Jay Rothman alluded to resignation. Depending on the outcome of today's meeting, unquote, Brenkus wrote in an email to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. A spokesperson for Rothman did not immediately return requests for comment last night, asking whether Rothman was considering quitting. I bet he didn't. I bet they didn't return a call on that. So the question is, if Rothman resigns today, and we don't know, I have one source that a fairly good source telling me that they don't expect him to resign. I have a couple others that say it's in the cards. But if Rothman resigns today, who should be the new president of the system? One of the most obvious choices is the current chancellor of Eau Claire, James Schmidt, who finished second to Rothman when the position was open before. Another name that's been floated, former Speaker of the Assembly and also U.S. Ambassador to Norway, Democrat Tom Loftus, who sat on the Board of Regents before, knows a lot about the legislature, obviously, and the UW system, a great negotiator, being an ambassador. His name's out there. Here's a couple of outside-the-box ideas. How about former Democratic Majority Leader of the State Senate, Tim Cullen. And then you pair that with my former boss, former Republican Majority Leader, Dale Schultz. You make Cullen the president and Dale as one of the vice presidents. You'd have an actual bipartisan group leading the Board of Regents. Who else might you throw in there? Another name that's popped out. I thought this was super creative. There's one person in Wisconsin state government who is truly respected by both sides of the aisle. Someone who knows numbers like the back of his hand. Someone who's seen as not controversial politically. Nobody knows where he stands politically. And truly loves Wisconsin.
Can I take a guess?
Sure.
When you said knows numbers like the back of his hand, that made me think Charles Franklin from the...
Would that be great? No, Charles Franklin would be great. But no, that's not who I was thinking
of. He's also great in his current job.
I think Charles Franklin would say there's not enough whiskey in the world. I would want that job.
That is also what I think he would say.
No, I'm thinking about the budget director, Bob Lang. Great guy, Bob Lang. really smart guy. Again, no one knows his political leanings. Respected by both sides of the aisle. Loves Wisconsin. A great administrator. Yeah, I like Bob Lang. But I also like former Democratic Majority Leader Tim Cullen and former Republican Majority Leader Dale Schultz. So we'll see. We'll see. Let's take a couple of calls. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Karina in Milwaukee. Thanks for listening. Karina, what say you?
Hi.
You're on the air, Hello? Karina. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi, guys. Well, you see, what's irritating the most and what needs to be decided is that there is no more when you have decision made by a whole government about the budget, nobody takes that decision and going back. It just simply doesn't look serious, okay? Mm-hmm. It doesn't look professional. So I think that our governor has to go through the court, and our governor has to add one point, that we have to stop doing it. Because it's just waste of time and waste of money and waste of states that it is. If you made a decision bipartisan, why are you going back on your decision? I'm sorry, I don't want to swear, but this is weak.
Right.
This is very, very weak.
Appreciate it, Karina. Thanks so much, Karina in Milwaukee. Thanks for calling. Also off the text line, WMDX, great point. I'm glad you texted this in. Says, why choose political people to run a university? What am I missing? Thank you for bringing that up. My non-academic people I threw out, Tim Cullen, Dale Schultz, even Tom Loftus, Bob Lang, because a very good friend of mine, very smart person last night, told me this on the phone. This needs to be a two-step process. Number one, you bring someone in for a two-year period to get you through the current crisis. And then during that time, you do a nationwide search to bring in an academic person who would serve as the permanent long-term president of the UW system. And I think it may take, I mean, Jim Schmidt, the chancellor at Eau Claire, I think could do it as well, but it may take somebody like Cullen, Schultz, Bob Lang, who knows numbers, who knows the university, who knows the legislature, to just get you through this crisis. Because make no mistake, we are in a crisis with our UW system right now. And I'm not sure an outside of the state academic person could come in. And who would want to step into that mess, first of all? And then, so you need someone who is used to dealing with messes, working at the legislature and the university, has the best intent of the students and the people of Wisconsin at heart to get us through this, and then put an academic in a long-term solution. Appreciate that text. Let's go quickly back to the phones. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, thanks for listening. What say you?
Well, first thing I want to say is this is just more of the Republican gerrymandered arrogance, because they believe that there's going to be no consequence at the voting booth. And so far in the last 13 years, they've been right. Because they have kept themselves, by choosing who can vote for them, they've kept themselves in place. Robin Voss is just the ultimate in arrogance. This is our best and final offer. Mm-hmm. Excuse me? There's not going to be any possibility of more negotiation? I mean, that's just outrageous. Now, in terms of running the UW system, and believe me, when he was
20 seconds, Jack, go ahead.
This guy was governor, was not exactly my favorite, but I think he did a darn good job of running it when he did, and that is Tommy Thompson.
I'm with you, Jack. I think Tommy may be the person to bring back to get us from the crisis. Another great name. Back with Luke Mathers and Tangents after this. Don't go anywhere.
The Tap.
CBS News Brief. Nations attending the UN Climate Conference have agreed to begin to transition away from fossil fuels. U.S. Climate Envoy John Kerry.
We look forward to working with all of our partners here to achieve these ambitions
And again, I say how deeply impressive, I believe, this multilateral effort is.
President Biden has told a group of supporters that he wants Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to order changes to IDF tactics in Gaza. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
The president criticized the Israeli leader, saying, quote, he has to change, and that Netanyahu's government is making it difficult for Israel to accept an eventual Palestinian state.
The Federal Reserve is expected to leave interest rates where they are today, says CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
Rates at 5.25% to 5.5% is not great news for borrowers contending with higher interest rates on credit card balances for new auto loans.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin property taxes are expected to see its largest increase since the Great Depression next year, though most homeowners probably won't feel it. That's according to the nonpartisan research group, the Wisconsin Policy Forum. The total property tax jump will come out to almost 5%, but two state tax credits included in this year's state budget will bring down how much homeowners actually pay. All three of Wisconsin's veterans' homes are getting federal grants through the state to hire nurses and keep them on the job. The grants to the long-term care homes in King, Union Grove, and Chippewa Falls add up to almost $733,000. The Bureau of Labor Statistics says Wisconsin has been losing nurses at almost twice the rate as the rest of the country. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Earl Ingram was giving Thanksgiving turkey cooking tips. Apparently, if you use your thumb and put an imprint on the turkey breast, if it bounces back, it's fresh. If it doesn't, it's frozen.
If you see a guy wandering around a grocery store in Madison doing things to turkeys, you'll know who it is.
I just gotta find myself a freshie.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 36 for a high this afternoon. The wind will be from the southwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, clear 25. Tomorrow, sunshine 45. Then on Friday, mostly cloudy. A few late day showers with a high right around 43. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor. But I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Your soulmate is somebody who, when you get out of the McDonald's drive-thru, she'll do a picklectomy and take the pickles out of my cheeseburger and put extra pickles on hers.
I'm flummoxed. I'm flabbergasted. I'm quacking upset right now.
You're going to defend pickles?
Except for bread and butter pickles. Those things are the devil.
Oh, see, now if I were going to try any of them, it would
be... Pat!
Got...
Come on!
Okay. And this is why Greg and I are not married.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Anybody who's ever breastfed a child knows that breast milk is liquid gold. Preserve it at all costs.
Oh, that's what Kristen was talking about. Yeah. Freezing it, like pumping, freezing. She's like, I have bricks of it. I'm like, this sounds like a reboot of Breaking Bad. Like, this is...
In the breast
Breaking
milk
breast. Breaking breast.
Breaking breast. Well done.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth. wherever it may lead and having a fun doing it. Having a fun? Yes, having fun doing it. It is 34 minutes past the hour of 12 noon. I'm just excited. You understand, Tuesday is making me excited at 12:30 because it's our time to talk with the great Luke Mathers, our executive producer of Civic Media, all-around great guy, dog owner, husband, newlywed. He does it all. We invite him every week. We get a thrill out of it. People love it. We get phone calls. We get texts. And people can't get enough of you, Luke. Welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Glad to be with you.
It's always fun to be with you.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Beautiful day here atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. The sun is shining. A nip is in the air. It's Bob Barker's 100th birthday. And we were talking about last segment. New reporting by Kelly Meyerhofer overnight at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. That Jay Rothman may be considering stepping down, resigning of the University of Wisconsin System Board of Regents if there can't be some sort of deal advanced on this debacle over the weekend. If he should step down, Luke, anybody come to mind? If you ruled the world, who would you put in that position?
I would find a qualified provost or chancellor from one of our excellent, excellent schools to run the UW system because... having the, like, to me, this is kind of a, well, I'm shocked that, you know, Jay Rothman's having a hard time. He's never led anything in higher education in the past. And so, yeah, is it truly that surprising that he's having a rough go at it?
Well, no, I'm not surprised he's having a rough go at it. And to one of our texters' points, they said, why not, you know, why have an outside academic person do this? I listed some of the people that, you know, former Democratic Assembly Speaker and UN or Ambassador to Norway, Tom Loftus. I sent my former boss, Dale Schultz, and Tim Cullen, one Republican, one a Democrat, majority leaders, former majority leaders, Bob Lang, legislative fiscal bureau director. And my point is, and agree or disagree, I agree that long term, you should absolutely have an academic person in that position. I just don't know if you're going to find someone who wants to step into this crap show right now. And I think it may take an experienced person in the who knows the legislature and the UW system to get us through these few months, a year, maybe 2 years, while you do a national search to find an academic person.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with that analysis. I just think it's crazy to see all this chaos that's going on around this over the last couple of days, and just not to be like. It's hard for me not to just throw up my hands and be like, well, this is what happens when you put somebody that's never ran a higher education system like the Universities of Wisconsin system, previously known as the UW system.
Do you notice the governor? Well, even in the governor.
I know, even when these even press the governor, releases came out, weekend. Yeah, it was the UW system there. It was very quick to revert back to the previous name rather than the new branding. So.
And also, Luke, you said the Universities of Wisconsin system. There's no system anymore. It's just the Universities of Wisconsin.
All right. You know, it's like it's a stepping stone. It's a building bridge to get there. Okay, so I think it's not all that shocking that the regents that I believe did this search and hired Jay Rothman were still a number of Walker holdouts when that happened. I could be wrong on the timing.
I don't know the exact number. I know it was very close to the time that Governor Evers got a majority of his regents on the board, and I believe that Karen Walker, who is Karen Walker, who ironically is an Evers appointee, who's the president of the Board of Regents, I believe she hired, made the final decision for both Rothman and for Jennifer Mnuchin.
Okay. Well, it is very telling that the process, Governor Evers has been governor for 5 years, and he only about that time last year, the last 18 months that Jay Rothman finally got this job. Had a majority of his own appointees because there were so many Walker holdouts.
Right.
And so
Let me correct myself quickly. It's Karen Walsh, not Karen Walker. I got my W's mixed up. So it's Karen Walsh is her name. Sorry.
See? And so I don't necessarily know the best name that will come in and write this ship and then lead it into the future. But it definitely goes to show the leadership that's been going into this search and the increased politics that we've seen, specifically by Walker appointee holdouts that dragged their feet, waited to the point where Tommy Thompson had to be the interim president of the system for a year.
Almost two.
Yeah. It was only supposed to be a year.
Well, they had a pandemic hit.
Right. But there was still, during that pandemic, a dragging of the feet by political appointees to the UW Board of Regents. And so the increased politicization and the punching bag that has been the UW system by elected Republican officials here in the state of Wisconsin, to your point, getting us to, it may be hard to find somebody from higher education to fill this role because of the turmoil that elected Republican officials around the state of Wisconsin have caused for this setup.
And to be clear, this reported by Kelly Meyerhofer in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, saying that there is a chance, she quoted the student regent who sent her an email, who the student regent said that Rothman, in meetings with the regents, said if this didn't pass, he would consider resignation. Yeah. So we don't know for sure, but there is at least a fairly good possibility. I've talked to sources, both Republicans and Democrats and university folks, who, again, despite what people thought about the deal, quote unquote, that once that was made and the way that it just fell apart, and the way that Rothman clearly couldn't count votes on his own board of regents, that now the regents don't all trust him. The academic folks don't trust him. Certainly many in most, if not all, the Republican and even some of the Democratic legislature don't trust the guy. I don't see how he survives long term.
Yeah, and it's hard to know. I mean, maybe he's going to resign. You can't always take everything that these individuals say at face value, though, because Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that he's done negotiating on all of this stuff, and he said the same thing about shared revenue back in March, and lo and behold, there was a shared revenue deal passed because negotiations continued in June is when that got passed. And so it's like, it's hard to take all of the public outward-facing comments that come out of these matters at true face value. Maybe he will resign, Jay Rothman, maybe he won't, but it's going to be interesting to see where the board, where the system, and all of the different parties involved here come to a conclusion. Because at the end of the day, it's still, to me, this is my reading of the situation, and I'm not as well versed in it, but it feels a lot like more extortion than anything. And so everybody's talking about it as a discussion, and really it's, every other state employee got their raises.
Yeah.
UW system employees are waiting for their raises because of DEI offices that Robin Voss and other elected Republican officials don't want to see funded anymore. So they're taking their fight with identity politics and the people that are at the harm end of it, the ones that are facing those consequences, are UW system employees that are just essentially pawns in this political game that some people are playing. And it's really stupid to me from an outsider's perspective to see that it is actually elevating to the level of, oh, well, there's going to be some compromise on this extortion case here. That's what it feels like. And so
it reminds me of a story of when I was a young staffer back in the 90s, and one of my longtime bosses, Dale Schultz, I was explaining something to him. And I was talking about somebody we were working with, not in our office, but some other bureaucrat or whatever. And I said, but Dale, they said whatever, this and so and this and so. And he looked at me and he goes, hey, guess what? People lie.
It's one of my favorite Gregory House lines from the show House. It's just his core value is just people lie. And then time and time again throughout the series, you just get to see. Yeah, I might resign. It's like one of those things. And maybe that's what Jay Rothman was using as a tactic to try to get the vote to pass over the weekend. I don't know. I don't know where we go from here. I'm not in the prediction business.
Well, let's look at my football record. Neither should I be.
My fantasy football this year was not good. So.
Let's go quickly to the phone lines. Mark up in Eau Claire listening on WCFW The Tap. Thanks for listening in, Mark. What say you?
Hey, I've got a question. Let's say that this agreement does go through. Okay.
Okay.
Does the lawsuit go away?
No, I don't. I mean, I'm not an attorney, but no, I think that's what one of the things the Board of Regents is discussing behind closed doors today.
Okay.
I think the lawsuit could still potentially go forward. I don't know how that affects like precedent and all that sort of thing. But if you made the deal, it would still get you what you want in court. But go ahead.
Okay. But then my follow up is, if there is an agreement reached and the lawsuit goes through and the court says, no, Joker can't do that,
right,
is the agreement null?
I think it would depend on where it was at. If the agreement is made, it still has to have the approval of the legislature and signed by law to the governor. If it becomes law and they say Joker can't do that, I think what the lawsuit then would do, Luke, you could weigh in, I think the lawsuit in that case would simply set precedent and say moving forward, the Joint Committee on Employment Relations can't do this kind of crap again.
Yeah, I don't know okay. All the details of those law, yeah. The lawsuit. I mean, so I'd have to consult an expert that knows better than I.
Matt Flynn or somebody. But those are great questions, Mark. I wish we had more of a direct legal answer. But my layman understanding would be you could potentially have the lawsuit go forward in order to have the courts decide a precedent for that committee moving forward.
Okay, thank you.
Great call, Mark. Thank you so much for listening. Really appreciate it. Let's go quickly to Peggy in beautiful Brooklyn. Peggy, what say you?
I do not want a politician in that position.
Even short term.
That is a slap in the face. No, that is a slap in the face to all these well-educated people that are highly regarded for this job. And I'm sorry, but the Democrats, you guys play this game over and over and over again. Now you're going to let them off the hook again. No, we rejected it. Guess what? Robert Voss is going to look like shit, and he deserves it.
Okay, just remember, we are FCC regulation here, so got to watch the language, but appreciate the passion. Peggy, thank you so much for calling in. Look, it makes a lot of passionate phone calls, a lot of passionate people out there. I think the point that I was trying to make, I think, Luke, you kind of followed up a little bit. You have a guy like Jim Schmidt, who's the chancellor at UW-Eau Claire, great guy, and he finished second to Jay Rothman last time around. But he's, by all accounts, doing a great job. Eau Claire, one of the 4 years, is doing really, really well. And so the point I was trying to make was, why would a person, either Jim Schmidt, Chancellor Schmidt, or somebody like him, want to give up a job where things are going well to step into this mess that was created by somebody else?
Yeah, that's a really hard thing to determine for that individual. And I don't know where they stand on wanting to return. You never want to be... like the second choice either. So it's like one of those things where and everybody knows that you were passed over as that first option. I don't know if that was necessarily the right decision. Obviously, we're seeing that maybe it wasn't the right decision, but still, you don't want to be somebody's second option.
Right.
And so it would be interesting to see. I think you're right, though, that there is going to need to be a long-term national search for this. And I don't know if all of a sudden Jay Rothman decides he's going to follow through on his word and actually consider resigning if he can't get a deal. But this was supposed to be like the best case scenario. That's what it got pitched as, as Jay Rothman taking over. It was like, come on, he knows he's a long-term respected law firm partner. He's got good relations with the legislature. He can be that building bridge. And we see that clearly that was not the pick. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where, the crown jewel of the state, the universities of Wisconsin, go after this. But it's definitely an interesting circumstance that this is where we decide to be spending our time rather than just, funding an engineering building for UW-Madison and passing the pay raises and then going about actually addressing the problems that Wisconsin faces rather than picking fights with the campuses around the state saying, well, no, you can't have a diversity office. That's grounds for us holding your raises hostage and not passing funding for a engineering building that everybody broad political support for a new engineering facility
job creator
here in Madison. Yeah, actually that would be something that would address the 130,000 jobs that the state will be short by the end of this decade. But instead, there's going to be identity politics played over whether or not there's diversity offices and raises right now when people need it most. We're going into the holiday season. Everybody's got an extra cost this time of year. And UW system employees are being held hostage and their raises being held hostage over these silly political games.
When we come back on the other side, Luke, what grinds your gears?
I got something.
Yeah, you got something?
I got something. It's on my shoulder even. I feel it.
Something's grinding Luke's shoulder gears. And what, anything else, we'll find out on the other side. One person says George Santos is available, and he has been a university president at least once before, right? Great text.
That is an excellent text, whoever's listening in the 608.
We appreciate that. More with Luke Mathers, Tuesday Tangents with Luke, Packers gear grinding. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Latrell spent more than 8 years in foster care. His world changed when he was adopted at 15 with help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
I think about how much we love him, and I wish we could have had him for his entire childhood.
The foundation is changing the lives of thousands of teens waiting in foster care. You can help. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
1 in 4 Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. It's Tuesday Tangents with Luke Mathers at 10 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a Tuesday, December 12th. Happy birthday to Greg Bach, producer down and co-host down in Waukesha.
Shaw. And Drew Smith, one of the excellent members of our engineering team.
Yeah. Drew and Greg.
Well,
and happy birthday to my Aunt Peggy, as it turns out, down in North Carolina. So nice. All kinds of great.
And Bob Barker. They all shared a birthday with Bob Barker.
What a day, December 12th. So Luke Mathers is here, and we started this last week. I love every part of it. Luke Mathers, once again, what's grinding your gears?
The incessant need throughout the 90s to use linoleum. I spent the whole weekend scraping linoleum tiles off of the basement floor, Todd. Yeah. And I don't know if there was a fear that if a tornado came through that somehow the linoleum was going to move out of place. The amount of adhesive.
Really?
Yeah, oh, my God. It is.
Bad.
See, I did... I agreed to host Christmas.
I heard this.
Knowing that I was like, okay, this is going to be the end date. Like, I'm going to work towards getting the basement finished in time to host for Christmas. And boy, am I regretting that decision right now. Because this linoleum flooring. Oh,
now is it the kind that's like the individual squares?
One foot by one foot square.
Oh, that is so much
350
worse.
Yeah. Square feet of this stuff. Ooh. And just all... Every single inch just piled on with this adhesive that is just killing me. So,
and you're a little sore now in the shoulder.
Yeah, like literally.
It's literally grinding your gears.
I can feel it. I'm going to have to. I told Kelsey, I was like, our reward for finishing this project is somehow during the holiday season, we're going to go get massages.
A little body work. You need some body work.
Like. Both of us just like we Saturday and Sunday all last night. It just. All of the tiles are removed. Now I'm just at the adhesive part. So I'm hoping by the end, I think I can still hit the timeline. I got till the 23rd.
You're going to cut it that close?
What?
People be bringing in their cookies and eggnog. It looks like I'll be right up.
Hang on, real quick. I'm going to be using the nail gun just to finish putting the trim real quick.
You're cutting it close.
I know, but you know, it's just that's kind of how I work sometimes. I need a deadline to be able to hit it. Because that was the whole reason, like agreeing to host was like, okay. I'll have a timeline. I'll make sure that I've got the pressure put on to finish this project. And boy, is this project just throwing every right hook and curveball at me that it possibly can.
I have confidence in you because you're organized. You know what the heck you're doing. I think you'll do it.
Kelsey's not so certain at this point. Well, we got through last night, and this adhesive remover is just not working. Like
what are you putting down in place of it?
We've got the vinyl planking already, so we took care of that. Like we've got what's going to go in place of it. I'm hoping that is a somewhat easy part of the process. Lord knows I'm probably misjudging how long that's going to take, but it's like the snap-in stuff. It's supposed to be relatively easy to install.
I've done a lot of that before, that kind of the snap-in vinyl. It is pretty easy.
Okay.
The thing that is difficult is if you need to trim it, it is very easy to cut, so be careful. And don't cut it too short.
Okay. Yeah. That's what my buddy that did his vinyl flooring is like, just be like very, like, don't cut too small and make sure that you fill the gaps with glue if you can, because his are all coming apart and separating. I was like, I don't want that.
Yeah, if you want help either tearing up this flooring or if you trust me enough to help installing the new one,
the floor's torn out. Your offer to help is already, that's okay. I didn't realize late,
the hard work
that,
is done.
That, no,
I didn't realize you finished that part.
The hard work is now like scraping every inch of the adhesive off, but we'll see how it goes. Then it should just be a little layer of subflooring, which is just a mat that I think you roll out and cut to it, and it's easy, and then putting in the planks. So,
all right,
I'm hopeful.
Well, I have faith in you, and I think it will.
I told you this. It's Santa Claus is coming to town. I every time I hear it this holiday season, it's more of a threat than a fun end of the year
Luke reminder. Being held hostage by the holidays, by the Christmas season. All right, let's go back to last night, Monday Night Football. The Packers looked like they were going to give it away, but then suddenly, late in the game, if we do our best impression of NFL primetime, here we go. Let's take you back to last night. The Packers on the drive. Will there be love in New York? He throws it across. Yes, a magical catch at the goal line. Packers score and are up, but the two-point conversion fails. All the New York football Giants need is a field goal. Can Jimmy DeVita, the Italian stallion from East Rutherford, New Jersey, get it done? He messed up the Wisconsin Badgers last year. He was playing for Illinois and cost, the great Paul Christ's job. Could the Italian stallion do it to the two teams from Wisconsin in a row? And they are driving down in the final minute of the game. Meanwhile, Joe Barry, the defensive coach for the Packers, says the game's done. He tells the defense, go in the showers, take a powder, boys, and puts the avatar for the Green Bay Packer defense on the field. Prevent defense. You do not do that. The prevent defense gives up play after play. Jimmy DeVita, the Italian stallion, with time expire. The kick goes up. The kicker looked like he'd had a few pastas, by the way. The kick goes up. Good! The football Giants from New York score, and the Packers lose. There is no love in New York for the Packers.
That was excellent. That was fantastic. Don't do too many more of those, because we might lose you to somebody. Doing the sports call, Todd.
It was. I watched that game. And I was drinking wine. I had dance class.
and you rehearsed this whole thing last night.
I had dance class last night, my Zoom dance class. I'm watching this, and I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. The Packers are going to lose. And then they had that great drive, and they scored.
Yep.
I'm like, they've got this. And then what happened to the
133, 93 seconds left. And yeah, the Joe Barry has got probably more to answer for this season, I think, than Jordan Love. Fourth time this season that the Packers have had a lead in the fourth quarter, and the defense, Joe Barry, using prevent D, has let that lead slip away. So for everybody that's out there that's like, oh, Jordan Love's not the guy, I think it's really hard to judge him on this entire season because of the things like that. He did what he needed to do. He drove down the field. He got a touchdown. So he didn't look great in the first half, but he ended up doing what he needed to do in the fourth quarter, and the defense just didn't come through. But I had that game on mute. I was just watching it in the background. The Milwaukee Bucks barely eking out a win against the Chicago Bulls. Went to overtime again and eked out that win. But that's what I was actually listening to
Is the soccer tournament over yet?
Yeah, yeah, it's over. The Lakers won the inaugural in-season tournament on Saturday.
I knew that.
Unfortunately, the Bucks got knocked out by the Pacers.
But the Bucks had a big win last night in overtime. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they will get a chance to host the Pacers, which they just lost to last Thursday in the in-season tournament. They're going to host the Pacers tomorrow night at the Pfizer Forum.
Well, we'll be watching. It'll be interesting. Always interesting to have Luke Mathers here. Luke, you're fantastic as always.
We'll
just have dead air for the rest of the show because there's nothing else that can improve upon this. No. We'll figure something out. And Jay, I'm sorry we didn't get to this segment. We can take you on the other side if you want. Don't go anywhere. Thank you to Luke Mathers. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. Hour 2, that is.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.